Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Yo, welcome into The Odd Couple. Yes, you hear this? That's my mic. We are live on Thanksgiving evening. Rob Parker. That's right. Andy Furman in for Chris Broussard. And we're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And yes, it is a TV theme song Thursday Thanksgiving. And we will be playing songs from family TV shows since Thanksgiving is all about family. And a lot of football to get to you. And we want to hear from you. You're driving around or you're, you know, flopped out on the couch after all that turkey and dressing and buttered rolls and a little alcohol and all that other stuff. So we do want to hear from you. We're going to get you involved. But first, let me bring in my co-host for today on this Thanksgiving, a radio legend, a friend of mine, a guy I've known for a gazillion years since 1991, Mr. Andy Furman.
You know, you're too kind, and I tell you what, we got to stop with the accolades because it puts a lot of pressure on me, and the audience will expect too much from me, Rob. You know that. I don't have that much God-given talent. I don't.
Yes, you do. Everybody knows Andy Furman, of course, from Fox Sports Radio, from WLW, the big one in Cincinnati. I met him in Cincinnati when I was covering the Cincinnati Reds back in 1991. I shook it up a little bit in Cincinnati, Andy, right? Just a little.
You're still doing it. You're still shaking it up.
Try to do it as much as I can. But let's talk about Thanksgiving real quick. What'd you do with the family, food? Have a good day?
Well, here's my first question, which has really been bugging me for a long, long time, and I know you probably have the answer. Why is turkey the food of choice on Thanksgiving?
There's no other day that we would eat turkey, so they picked one day to do it. Most of the year, nobody's making a turkey. It's an ordeal. You can't cook a turkey for a regular meal. It takes like 4 or 5 hours to cook it.
I hear you. Okay,
so right? Maybe that. Doesn't that make sense?
I thought because the pilgrims, that was the only bird of choice at that point in time. So they ate turkey. That was it.
No, there was no McDonald's
back then.
You're right about that. The McTurkey sandwich, just a burger, didn't go. But you're right. I'm sure that they started with a turkey because wild turkeys were running around. But I just say, like, making a turkey is an ordeal.
It just is.
Like, you can't come home from work at 6 o'clock and put a turkey in the oven for dinner. It's not possible.
Right.
So I think that's what it is. Is your wife a good cook? What did you guys have?
Well, here's the deal. Our big Thanksgiving, believe it or not, it's going to be tomorrow because one of my sons and his fiance are coming over tomorrow. My other son will be here tomorrow as well. So we're going to have it tomorrow. So today was kind of a laid-back day, which is okay. But my wife has been working on the turkey since 5:30 a.m. today.
Yeah.
And she's panicking. So I said, don't worry. Tomorrow the restaurants and the groceries are open. In case you screw up, I could go buy one.
There you go. Yeah. Look at that. Giving your wife an out just in case. But yes.
Right. A little backup plan.
A little backup. It is a Thanksgiving, of course, evening. And we appreciate you joining us live here on The Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. We wish, of course, Chris Broussard and Rob Guerra and Alex Teichert, the regular crew, we wish them all a happy Thanksgiving. And also Elijah, who's our social media guru, all those guys having the day off, but we wouldn't be able to do this fine radio program, so let's welcome in the Odd Couple crew. On the holiday shift, Ryan B. is our producer. Iowa Sam is our engineer. And yes, Mr. Steve DeSager is at the update desk. Steve, are you there? Is he listening?
You betcha.
That's great.
Steve, well, Steve, there's only one constant on holidays, and that's me and you. Now that Alex Teicher got, he got upgraded to a Rob Guerra deal now. You know what I'm saying?
He's a little bougie? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's the word, bougie.
But Steve, sorry, we got three NFL games. We still got another one that hasn't even started. That's still over an hour away. And since you come to the news desk, I can tell you officially, running back Mark Ingram is out for the Saints tonight with a knee injury. Alvin Kamara is already out with a knee injury, but the inactives have come down, and that's official now. So New Orleans, losers of three straight, they could go under the 500 mark with a loss to Buffalo tonight.
Yeah, that could be ugly because Buffalo needs an impressive win, and if they don't win here with New Orleans with no running back, so. But Steve DeSega, always great to work the holidays
with you. The golden
tones
of Steve
DeSega.
I just thought of something. We talk about, you know, Buffalo needs a good showing tonight. It's a good thing they don't give style points in the NFL like they're doing in college right now. Because a lot of these teams aren't getting many style points going week to week.
Yeah, the voters would not be kind on the Bills' last five games.
Right.
They've been 2-3, and the Patriots have won five in a row.
It has been definitely ugly. But speaking of ugly, let's start there, Mr. Andy Furman.
Thanks
and
a lot.
Not with you being ugly. I meant the Lions and the Bears today. Our traditional Thanksgiving Day start, 12:30. It's a holiday in Detroit. Let me tell you, I know a lot of people are tired of seeing the Lions. That's a very constant. Get rid of the Lions. Why do we have to watch the Lions every year?
Agreed.
First of all, the owner of the Lions back in 1934 was the guy who came up with the idea. So that's why the Lions started playing on Thanksgiving. And obviously, for people who want to bash also the Lions organization, at one point, Ford Motor Company was the only sponsor of the NFL. Is this mic on? Hello? So they helped get this league off the ground, Ford Motor Company. And number three, Andy, can't take
away. The Ford Motor Company got him off the ground because William Clay Ford was the guy who kind of founded the Lions.
Well, yeah, no, he bought the Lions back in 1964, doubt about it.
Yeah.
But at the time, I'm talking about the Ford Motor Company was the only sponsor. And number three, it's not just about the Lions, who we know have been bad, have won one playoff game since 1957. Andy, it's about the town and the city and the people. I happened to work there for 20 years, radio, newspaper, television, and I still own a barbershop there on 7 Mile Road in Detroit. I'm invested in the town. But I know what a big deal it is to the people. It's a holiday. You know, they have a big parade. People are used to watching the Lions, going to Lions games, going to the parade, and then having Thanksgiving dinner. I thought baseball made a big mistake when it took away the opening game from Cincinnati, from the Reds. Remember, Andy?
Yes.
Traditional, the Reds were the first professional organization in the history of America, in any sport, the Cincinnati Redlegs. And it was always the original and first opener of the year was always in Cincinnati. In the good old days, Andy, it used to be you watch the Reds and whoever they were playing, and then you watch the national championship basketball game that night. Remember?
Exactly.
That is exactly how it was.
I'm big on tradition. And look, I made fun when you said that you get rid of the Lions. I know. I'm a traditionalist kind of guy, and I love it. You know who loves the Detroit Lions? I'll tell you who loves them. The Cincinnati Bengals. The Lions make the Bengals look good. They really do. Hey, you know, it's a shame because they got some great fans over there. I watched that game today, and I looked at the stands and said, you know what? Honestly, you know, they're still coming out in droves. They're still supporting that team. And you know what? That team doesn't quit. That team still plays, and they play hard. They've been hit with injuries. Now Swift went down with the shoulder. But
yeah,
you know
that's a bad break because he's been their bright spot and best offensive player easily, right?
Right. You know, but I root for this team. You know, maybe some bad luck. Who knows what the deal is? But eventually they'll turn it around because that's what the NFL is all about, parity. And believe me, you talk about parity. I've never seen a year with more parity than this year in the National Football League.
Yeah, it has been that year except for the Lions, who now are 0-10-1, right? Isn't that 0-10-1 with a chance of being going undefeated? I mean, winless. They already were the first team, Andy, to go 0-16. Can they go 0-16-1 in the first 17-game season? Do you think it's possible? Because the year that they went 0-16, I was still working in Detroit. And I remember doing First Take with Skip Bayless, and that came up. And I was like, I'm covering all these games. I'm telling you, and this was like they were like 0-9 or 0-10. Right. And everybody was like, there's no way they're going to go 0-16 or win a game by happenstance, by luck. And they went 0-16. I think they have a chance to go winless.
Well, I will say this. I think it's harder to go 0-16-1 than to go 17-0. I really believe that. I just think you can't, because I think there's more of a pride factor. You know, if you go undefeated and 17-0, you know, you got to get a speed bump. And I think the players know that. And going into the season, you don't expect to do neither. You don't expect to go winless or undefeated, but there's a pride factor, and I think there's still a pride factor in that Detroit Lions clubhouse. I really believe that. I just don't see them going 0-16-1. I can't see it. I'd be shocked. I really would be.
I think it's really a possibility because you just lost Swift, right? So yeah. So he's probably that's your best offensive guy. Jared Goff was, you know, early on, I think he had completed his first 8 or 9 passes or whatever, but nothing spectacular, and he doesn't have a lot of weapons and whatnot. And they've been doing pretty well defensively, holding teams down, but there's just not enough offense generated. I mean, they held the Steelers to 16. They lost to Cleveland, right, 13-10. So if you look at the defense over the last three games, right, they gave up 16, 13, and 16. Most teams would take that, wouldn't you, defensively?
You're exactly right. But you know what? Let's get into the meat and the potatoes over here. Now, let's see who they play down the stretch. And I don't see many winning games. I mean, you may be onto something here. Although, I think perhaps Atlanta on the 26th of December. That game is at Atlanta.
Oh, that Christmas gift, you think?
Yeah,
maybe?
Yeah. I'm thinking perhaps. I think that's because I don't see them beating Minnesota, Denver, or Arizona. Seattle, maybe, because Seattle could be out of it anyway. And January 9th, Green Bay, but Green Bay could have clinched a spot, and maybe they're going to be resting their regulars, so who knows? But nobody wants to be the team that loses to the winless Lions.
Yeah, that's where we are. And the Bears, let's switch to the Bears, who get the win at as time expired with a chip shot field goal after they get the ball down to the 10, I think, for the last play. And they win 16-14. Of course, they didn't cover. It was 3 points, so they didn't cover. So people who had the Lions and the 3 points were very happy. But the Bears break a 5-game losing streak, and a guy you're familiar with, a guy you've watched his whole career when he was in Cincinnati, Andy Dalton. And he had a couple of throws there and as they go forward. But the Bears are a mess as well. And we're going to get into it as well with Matt Nagy, who took the NFL by storm, right, his first year and won the division. Right. And he was the cat's meow of NFL coaches. And now there was a rumor this week that he was going to be let go after the game. That has not happened, and they've denied, the organization has denied it. But what about the Bears and where they are? Because I'm surprised how bad they are.
You know, it's funny. First of all, they got some problems because of the division that they're in, because that's a tough one. It really, with Green Bay and Minnesota. Although Minnesota's been a bit of a disappointment this year. But again, that Bears team, and let's face it, they haven't had a decent quarterback since Sid Luckman. Really? Think about that. Who has been quarterback? You know, you can't win in that league without a quarterback.
I mean, for people who don't know who Sid Luckman is, just know that sports writers were using typewriters when Sid Luckman was the quarterback.
Right. I mean, he was one hell of a quarterback. I never saw him play. I don't want to preface that right now. But I read about him, and I understand he was one hell of a player. But the point is this, that you can't win in this league without a quarterback. And how stupid could you be by not going after a quarterback in the draft or a trade? And they just continue not to do that.
Well, but they got Fields. They believe he was their guy. And where you want Fields, who's hurt, who, of course, didn't play. But he's struggled. He's got a lot of turnovers. And I don't know if he's really ready. I know everybody wanted him to be inserted in as the starting quarterback. Everybody likes the new shiny toy, Andy, but he doesn't look ready to me.
No, I had 4 touchdowns and 8 INTs. And the point is this, I think some of the responsibility goes on the coaching staff. And look what they've done to Mac Jones in New England. They made it so easy for him. They really have. They run the ball like 30, 40 times a game. He's throwing 10, 15 passes a game, dink and dunk, whatever it may be. Get some decent protection. Couple that with great defense, and they're winning football games. The Chicago Bears had no clue. They threw him out to the Wolves. I understand that, you know, the days of having a starting quarterback or a drafted quarterback sit on the sidelines and learn the game, those days are gone. You know, shove him, you draft him, and you play him. But the point is this, if you're going to play him, you better set it up so he doesn't fail. That's the key.
No doubt, and it's set up for Mac Jones in New England, no doubt about it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
But we saw the Bears beat the Lions at the end, and the Raiders in OT beating Dallas. Your take on both of those games?
You know, it's funny you mention that, because when you go back to the Dallas game, you would say, wow, what an exciting game. Went to overtime. Dallas loses. And you kind of have a little conversation about it. You go back to the early game, Detroit and Chicago, and Detroit loses again to go 0-10-1. You say to yourself, oh, I mean, I think it's the quality of the teams, not the result of the game. Yeah, it was exciting. Went down to the buzzer, and that's how Detroit lost the game, which they've done before this season. They did it to Baltimore, the Ravens, when they lost on a 66-yard field goal. But the point is, I think it's like the meaning of the game more so than the outcome of how it ended.
No, I agree. I mean, sometimes we can look at it and go, well, at least it was a competitive game, and it came down to the wire, and it wasn't a blowout. Sometimes blowouts can be fun to watch, Andy,
no
right?
Doubt. No doubt.
Especially
when
you're with that.
Yeah, when you see a Kansas City, they usually put up a lot of points. I love to see 42-35 games. Like, you know, even though it was competitive, but it was competitive against two teams that are going nowhere.
Yeah.
The only thing they have to worry about is their draft selection.
And in the Cowboys, I mean, obviously the Raiders were desperate, but the Cowboys needed to win this game as well. I mean, it's just another one of those moments where you just scratch your head. I don't know. Where are you on Mike McCarthy? I mean, I thought that Packers team with Aaron Rodgers and some of the stuff should have gone back. There were some things that happened there, but I never really loved his play calling and the way Aaron was always used. I don't know. I'm not a big Mike McCarthy fan, and if I look at what's happened where they got destroyed by Denver, remember a couple weeks ago?
Right.
And Steve DeSager brought it up in the update. They've lost three out of their last four.
I would say, yeah, they've lost three of the last four. And I tell you what, 2 weeks ago, I was reading in some publications that Mike McCarthy's name was thrown around for Coach of the Year. You got to be kidding me. Really.
Yeah, well, I mean, right? Who's right. Voting on that?
Who's writing this stuff? I understand that the NFL has tremendous storylines, a lot of fodder for talk radio, newspaper columnists, things like that. However, I mean, give me a break. Step back just a little bit here. Really? Are you kidding? I mean,
right.
Come on, Coach of the Year. But here's the deal.
Those
the
guys,
good news
whoever
for the Cowboys,
wrote that, whoever wrote that was Meshuggah. That's all I'm going to say.
Right,
to
there you go. There you go. I love coming on over from my side a little bit. Hey, but here's the deal. The only thing the Cowboys have going for them is the division that they play in. Really?
Yes.
The SEC's tougher than that division.
Right. Anybody who's going to make a big claim about beating Philly and the Giants and Washington and thinking that they're, like, think about the NFC and all the teams, and that brings us to where we're going to talk about next and the big matchup in the NFC, right, where you have the Packers and the Rams, and this has huge ramifications. But first, you know, Aaron Rodgers was on McAfee's show, and he talked about that he doesn't have COVID toe, that he had a fractured toe, and he can't understand why people don't believe what he said. Hello? After the COVID thing, right, when people asked you whether you were vaccinated and you said yes, he said, yep, I'm immunized. That's what he said.
Yes,
and
he
then
did.
Tried to act as if people didn't understand what he was saying. No, you were asked point blank. So once you do that, Andy, people will now second guess everything that he says unless he, you know, confirms it on the record. Am I right?
You're exactly right. I'm really shocked that the league didn't know. They're finding like $15,000 and change. That's his lunch tab. I mean, come on. What the league? They threw out Tom Brady four games for deflating a football, and this guy lied about vaccinations. They fined the team $300,000. He gets fined $15,000 and change. Come on.
Yeah, you know, the NFL has had problems dealing with big issues. I think Roger Goodell's done a terrible job when they talk about protecting the Shield. And I could go into Deflategate and Spygate and Bountygate and Ray Rice. We could go, Colin Kaepernick. Can we go on and on and on about how many blunders the league has made by the commissioner? Am I right? PR blunders.
Right. You're exactly right.
So,
but I will say this. I have a lot more respect now for Kirk Cousins than Aaron Rodgers. At least Kirk Cousins went public, said, look, I'm not vaccinated. I'm not going to get vaccinated. And that's the end of the story.
I'll follow the protocol, and I'll just be in a bubble, and I'll be away from my team, whatever. And he wasn't the only one. Lamar Jackson said it in Buffalo, right? The quarterback.
I don't think it was Josh Allen. I think
Josh Allen also didn't get vaccinated.
Oh, did he?
He told everybody.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Josh Allen as well. So I'm just saying, like, all those guys made it clear, and it's fine. That's all Aaron had to do. You know, once you fudge it, I think people look at you differently. But let's talk about that game. It's a big game in Green Bay. Packers are 8-3. They've only lost three games in each of the last two seasons. They made it to the NFC Championship game the last couple of years. They lost to Minnesota in Minnesota, but Aaron Rodgers had almost 400 yards, four touchdowns. He looked great, right? He looked great.
Right.
But the guy on the other side with the Rams hasn't looked that great, and it's Matthew Stafford, who has lost the last two games for the Rams and hasn't played well. He has five turnovers. He's had two interceptions in each of the last two games, and I think pick sixes twice in each of those games. You know, pick six.
Right. They lost to the 49ers in Tennessee. They didn't look good in that. He's got six INTs on the year. And here's something. I don't know what it means, but it's a statistic, which I'll throw at you anyway. Matthew Stafford is going to Lambeau Field, all-time record 3-7. 3-7.
Right.
Well, maybe he can't play in Lambeau. Maybe it's the weather. Maybe the I don't know. The fans. And he was on some bad teams, too. Let's remember that in Detroit.
Yeah, there's no doubt. But there were a couple opportunities he had to win the division. I remember one very vividly in 2014 where if they won that game against the Packers, they would have won the division, which the Lions have never done and Stafford's never done. They would have gotten a bye and a home game. I mean, that was a big game, and they did not win that game against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. But this is the problem I have as we look forward, is the Rams have lost three games against what I would consider – three good teams, and the one game that they did win was against Tampa Bay. I mean, the one game that they did win against, like, a team over 500 was Tampa Bay. But this is Stafford's bugaboo, and his career record, Andy, is something like 9-69 against teams that finish over 500 in his career. And I get most of it is about playing with the Lions.
Right.
But this year with the Rams, people were talking about he's going to be the MVP. Look at the early part of the season when they got off to the great start. But of late, he's looked more like the Matthew Stafford who doesn't beat good teams. If you're a Rams fan, should you be concerned?
Yeah, I think you should, because this Rams team went all out. I mean, they mortgaged the future. They got the Von Millers of the world. They got the Aaron Donalds of the world. And remember, these guys are going to be going after Aaron Rodgers with COVID toe or a bum toe. I shouldn't say COVID toe, but he's got a bad toe, okay? But you know what? It's all about the term culture. And I never really liked that term because I think they just throw it out there and I think it's a cover-up. But there's something to be said about the term culture. When you're playing on a team that never wins, you get used to losing. Matthew Stafford doesn't know what it is to win because he's never won before. Really? It's easy to beat the teams you're supposed to beat on your schedule. He beat the Bears, okay? He beat the Giants. He beat Detroit. He beat the Houston Texans, all right? Those are the teams you're supposed to beat. But the teams, when it comes right down to it, the big-time teams, the teams you got to beat, he lost to Arizona, all right? 37-20 this year. So he doesn't know how to win yet. And it's all about culture because he's been in such an environment that didn't win, didn't know how to win, and after a while you just get used to losing.
And you know, it's a good point. And the problem is that when you get into the postseason, guess who you're playing, Andy? The better teams.
There you go.
You're playing the good teams. A lot of quarterbacks can feast on the bad teams. This is the knock on Dak Prescott. It's the same thing. Is that, you know, when he's playing against the bad teams, he's Dak superstar Prescott. But when he's playing the better teams, he's whack Prescott. And he's not putting up the numbers and the W's. And the same thing for Matthew Stafford. And this is why the Rams, they're all in. They've traded away. Andy, you just said it. They mortgaged the future, all these draft picks. They've gone all the way in. If they don't get it done, and this will be a big test. If they lose this game in Green Bay, you've got to start to wonder, are they going to be able to, you know, are they going to be able to win the division, which would help them, but if they don't, where are they going to do and how are they going to fare in the playoffs if they have to go on the road and play some of these better teams? This is a big game for him because he's had five turnovers in the last two games, both losses. And the one when they lost to the Tennessee without Derrick Henry in Los Angeles at home, I mean, that was a telltale sign, right? I mean, that's the game you got to win.
Yeah. You know, look, the guy puts up some numbers. He's got almost like 2,700 yards passing this year, 23 touchdowns, 6 INTs. That's great numbers. But you look at Aaron Rodgers, 2,100 yards, 17 TDs, 4 INTs. But here's the deal. I worry about Aaron Rodgers at that pass rush and a bad toe. Let's see how that happens this week because I think they're going to be coming at him pretty good.
Oh, I don't doubt that. I agree that will be a factor, but I just wonder, you know, all eyes will be on Stafford. There were a lot of people who were picking him to be the MVP this year. They just thought, the Rams, look at all the weapons they have. Now he's off that bad Lions team. Now it's going to be cake for him. It hadn't been cake.
No.
It's been more like a donut.
Yeah, Robert Woods is gone for the year right now. You know, as you said early on, you can't make excuses for injuries as part of the game. And if you're a star quarterback, if you're an elite quarterback, which people kind of made Matthew Stafford when he went to L.A., they said, well, this is the guy. He's the missing link. He's going to take us to the promised land. Well, let's see what you're going to do. Now the pressure's on you. Let's see what you're going to do. You never had pressure in Detroit.
No.
He never did. Now
he's
got
pressure.
Played
in a big game, maybe two or three of them in his whole career. And in 10 years there. So you're right, and here it comes. So this will be interesting to see how this plays out. If they lose, that'll be a third straight loss, and I think people will start to wonder, especially if Stafford doesn't play well in that game. So
you know what's going to happen. They're going to lose. It'll throw about three picks in that game. Then they come back the following week, and they'll be home against Jacksonville, and they'll throw five touchdowns.
Yeah, that ain't going to help them in the playoffs because Jacksonville won't be there.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's Rob Parker. I'm Andy Furman in for Chris Broussard. This is The Odd Couple on Fox Sports Radio. And right now, joining us on our celebrity line, Ryan Hollins, NBA vet, does the Rockets TV analyst. And also joining us right here and right now, we're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Ryan, how you doing?
What up, Ryan?
Hey, what is going on, fellas? Guys, I'm no celebrity, man. You can't put me on a celebrity line. I'm like a D-lister, man.
Not at all, man. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Hey, I'm doing good, man. How you been doing, man? I'm well, man.
I see you're doing real well. I mean, you know, I don't hear from my man no more. I don't know what's going on.
Man, yeah. Rob, stop it, man. Stop. Andy, come on, man. Here goes Rob starting up again. I've been on the line about 10 seconds.
That's what he
man.
Does. That's his thing. That's his motif there. Anyway, I got to ask you this. LeBron James had two spectators removed from his game against the Pacers in Indianapolis last night. I got to ask you, Ryan, when was the last time a player actually had the juice to have a person removed from a ball game?
I've done it before. I'm just not LeBron James. So it just happens when LeBron does it. It makes mainstream media, but I wasn't there. I didn't hear it. But just trust me, I'm going to tell you one thing. These fans went overboard. And I don't have the exact transcripts. I'm sure the league is doing their due diligence. But, you know, I heard something to the extent of, you know, they hope that LeBron's son died in a car accident. And
oh, geez.
We're saying all kind of crazy stuff. So
now, that's crazy.
Don't quote me on that. I'm sure the league may put out some reports or not, but I'm going to tell you one thing. For LeBron James to go out and make the move that he did, these fans just got out of control, and things go too far. And it's really unfortunate that people think that they don't just buy a seat to an NBA game. They think that they bought a player. And a lot of these things go far past the sport of basketball, and you expect certain etiquette from fans being in seats. So I think I'm extremely disappointing, but I think LeBron James making that move empowers players to where we can do our job. And I don't want to pull the race car, but I just hate when you're sitting there playing and performing and people think they can throw popcorn at you and yell slurs and slanders at you and certain things. But as a father, that just goes too far, guys, and you know it.
Yeah, there was one, and I can't remember the player, and maybe you guys will remember, but his wife had a stillborn baby, and there was a fan yelling, you know, like that at the guy. He went into was it Maxwell? Do you remember the story, Andy? He went into
Maxwell?
The stands after him. Yeah, not Cornbread. No. Another Maxwell. I think he played for the Rockets. I'll find his name. But anyway.
So, Maxwell?
Vernon Maxwell. I think so. And I remember it was over, you know, him having a stillborn baby. Can you imagine who in their right mind would yell something like
That's
that
disgusting.
To taunt somebody?
Really
it is disgusting. So let's talk about it, Ryan. I want to start there with the Rockets, who finally won their second game of the year. You do the Rockets game. How I know they got a lot of young guys. Just give us a little feel on, A, how is it doing the games with them when, you know, most nights you're going to lose. They just got a lot of young kids. And what's the development? Can you see anything there? Do they have enough that if they add some players, they can get better? Because it's pretty bad right now. I think they're, what are they, 2-15?
Yeah. So that was the second win of the season. These expectations were here going in. This is obviously a development year. The big guy that you're looking at is Jalen Green, who unfortunately got hurt around the second quarter of the last game. And, you know, I've watched him improve already. And the one thing is, you know, it's the only way that Jalen Green gets better is by being on the basketball court. And this is intriguing and a very intriguing team. Guys, the Houston Rockets lead the NBA in pace. Now, the Achilles heel is turnovers and free throw misses, avoidable turnovers. But when you have a young team, you get inconsistencies and you don't understand how, you know, the little things are. So, you know, the Rockets were in the game with the Lakers, with Golden State, with Boston, with a number of teams. So last night was no surprise. And, you know, a lot of the points are scored in the paint for our guys. And Chicago doesn't have any rim protection. So, you know, this was a horrible matchup for the Bulls. And anybody can get it on any given night. And, you know, everything just fell in alignment. But, you know, like you said, it's been fun because this isn't like watching the process, the Philadelphia rebuild. We have guys who can play, and they're not just throwing games away. There's some frustration here. There's a lot of pride here in Houston, but you have to have the patience for, you know, seeing a growth and development. But our guys are extremely talented. I mean, Jalen Green, he can jump out the gym. You know, if you guys have probably seen him on the highlights, Christian Wood can play. Jayshon Tate has a high motor. So, you know, there's some guys there. There's some pieces to the puzzle, but you know, this game is a game of inches, and you win by doing the little things. And when your young stars aren't quite stars yet, it's extremely hard to get wins in the NBA.
Hey. Ryan Hollins, you played the Bulls last night. I tell you what, one of those up-and-comers for the MVP honor maybe this year is DeMar DeRozan on the Bulls. He's brought new life to the Chicago Bulls. And look, he's averaging about 26 a game, 5 rebounds, 4 assists a game, shooting almost 50% from the field. Why the change for DeMar DeRozan?
Man, DeMar DeRozan has always been that same player, in my opinion. You know, he's been extremely consistent over the years. But now you pair him with Zach LaVine, and what they can do is they kind of just take turns handling the scoring load. And then you got Lonzo Ball, who me and Rob have had our share of arguments about playing off ball. And he's comfortable, and he darn near hit 6 or 7 threes in the game. And actually, the turning point in the game, Lonzo Ball hits a three. And I don't know if you guys have seen the new NBA rule, but now they're looking for, if you go and kick a guy or you grab a guy trying to draw a foul, Lonzo Ball grabs one of the defenders, tries to draw a foul, the ball goes in, it gets turned as an offensive foul towards Lonzo Ball when he didn't have to grab the defender on the way down. So you like the league really cleaning up these type of rules, but in all reality, it's penalized guys like Damian Lillard, you know, James Harden. You can't, you know, they can't get those same calls that they used to get on the perimeter. But it was an intriguing turn of events seeing that happen because Lonzo actually makes the three, but he kind of follows through, which is natural because you want to get the call as a shooter.
All right.
Rob?
Yeah, I got one last thing, Ryan. We got about a minute to go.
Oh, okay.
I want to ask you about the Nets. 14-5, right? Almost 750 ball without Kyrie. I'm not saying that they're a well-oiled machine, but they continue to win. They blew out Boston the other night. What do you make of the Nets so far?
Man, they're extremely talented. You can't say enough about the acquisition of a guy like Patty Mills, who, you know, has that Spurs heritage in him and just plays hard and does his job each and every night. I want to throw this out to you guys about the Nets because I still really see them coming out of the East once they get things together. I think if all goes well with kind of COVID and the NBA rules and protocols after the holiday season, which I think everyone was looking for and watching, I think the rules and regulations have a strong chance, don't quote me on this, my opinion, of loosening up, and we could see Kyrie Irving back in action. None of that would surprise me. So I got my eyes open to that and just, you know, intrigued to see what Kyrie's looking at, what workouts he's doing. I mean, Rob, you know, Andy, you know, I've never seen a situation like this ever in the league, you know. And right. Normally guys sit out for other reasons, but this is intriguing. You know, Andrew Wiggins was like, shoot, man, I'm about to get this shot.
Right. You know? Well, the only other thing, though, is that don't forget, New York City has, just like they had in San Francisco, it's a citywide ordinance.
Yes.
About being
yes.
indoors. So New York City would have to change. It's not about the NBA.
Yep.
It's New York City. So
I got
the
a new mayor now.
Who yep. takes over in January already
Eric
said,
Adams.
Yeah, that he's not changing any of the ordinance about COVID. So we'll see if that changes or if Kyrie changes his mind. But we appreciate you as always, my man. Thank you so much, Ryan.
Anytime, man. You guys sounded amazing, man. Rob, man, go easy, man.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, hey,
man.
I'm coming. I'm coming to Houston on the 5th or 6th, and I'm coming to a game. I'm gonna come see you.
Can we grab a bite to eat or something, man?
Yes.
Hey, Andy, man, this guy's supposed to be like my mentor for day one. I guess
yes.
He's the best.
I'll see you. I'll see you in Houston. Thank you.
Hey, Andy, with mentors like this, man, golly.
He's Ryan Hollins. Get him on Twitter at TheRyanHollins. Yes. There you go.